Yeah.
Woohoo.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
Green Diva Lynn.
Green Dude Paul.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, look at rocking all of it. Us knowing our names.
Well, it's always a good sign.
You'd be surprised. Anyway, very big show this week. A lot of stuff. Big show. I know Paul's rolling his eyes at me. Poor Paul missed all of the fun because we do a lot of pre-recording now, as y'all know. It's no secret.
Busy studio here.
And we have been so busy, and Paul was not with us the week that we had Stephanie Spear.
But I'm looking forward to the broadcast.
Yeah, it was so fun to meet her.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. She came out of New York, gracious enough to hop on a train. We picked her up. We had a really healthy, fun lunch. We had a Green Diva juice toast, right?
Yes, I could use one of those right now.
I know. It's time for my afternoon juice, Lynn. I've been pretty good since Lynn was here. She got me going on my afternoon juice thing. So anyway, when Stephanie was here, we really just, I think we talked and kind of just, there was so much going on. And finally we got onto the broadcast. There's a lot you won't hear, but we do have a video of her.
Oh, fun.
So we will produce that as well for this week's show. I just realized that.
Then it will be like everyone was here.
And it'll be like everybody was here. Yay. Yay. So, you know, I know it's not going to come out today, this particular. It'll come out in a couple days, this podcast. But I wanted to say that it is Rachel Carson's birthday. And Lynn did a beautiful post on like 20 of the top, 20 of our favorite Rachel Carson quotes. And for anybody
who's an inspiration.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for anybody who doesn't know who she is sort of the mother of the modern environmental movement.
Silent Spring.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's nice to honor her. 107 years old she'd be.
Right on.
Yeah. So anyway, good job, Lynn.
Yeah.
She died the year I was born.
Really?
Yeah.
So that was 1980 something.
Yeah, right. Yeah. 1964.
Yeah, you're younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to another
We're
subject.
Giving it away? Why? Because Paul's older than both of us.
Oh yeah.
Get out!
Oh, I can't imagine.
Really?
57.
No.
Wow, I would never have guessed.
Oh, both my birth year and my age now. Wow, I just realized that.
Oh, 57.
Yeah.
57.
How about that?
Yeah, I would never have guessed that, Paul.
Yes.
Uh-uh.
So, anyway, yeah, so we're all, you know, youthful Green Divas and dudes here.
We're still cool.
Living the green life.
Living the green life. I want to take a moment to say thank you to our sponsors.
Absolutely.
BuyGreen.com. Thank you, Doug Farquhar, for doing what you do, because BuyGreen is like all the coolest stuff available in the green market. Well, a lot of the cool stuff available in the green market.
Pre-screened and rated. Yeah, it's awesome.
Carefully vetted so that it has a clear rating system, so you understand why it has been rated the way it has been rated.
No greenwashing here.
No greenwashing there. BuyGreen.com, and of course Smarty Marty's Rent-A-Wreck,
which is just fun to say,
isn't it? It's just, and he's a fun guy. We love Smarty Marty. So here in northern New Jersey, he has several locations, and he also rents trucks. So if you go to thegreendivas.com,
I've heard of them.
Yeah, we have a banner in the sidebar. You'll see it a couple places, I'm sure. Just click on that, and if you're not in the northern New Jersey area, you know, there's a place for you to search wherever you are in the country. Thank you, Smarty Marty's.
Thank you to our sponsors.
Thank you.
And what else? Well, now we can be more fun. Let's see what else is coming up on the show. So we have Stephanie Spear, which Paul missed. I think Paul missed everything, so he's just going to nod a lot while we talk about it. He's nodding now, yes.
And nodding works really well on the radio.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah, it's so visual.
It's quite an effect.
Well, you had Miriam Heinen.
Yeah, Heinen, I think.
No, I was on an interview with her on another subject, but this sounds
this
is more of a tip.
How do you say her last name again?
Heinen.
Okay.
Yeah, Paul was with us when we talked to her originally as a feature segment about Honey Colony. This one was a segment about beauty and health, Green Diva's beauty and health.
I will tune in.
You will, because you know what? Facial.
Men need beauty, too.
Men need beauty, too.
Maybe even more so.
But this one's all about skincare. And you've seen a picture of her. She's absolutely beautiful. And this is about natural skincare. So, yeah, you'll definitely want to do that. And then we had Tara Wellington not doing a foodie file.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also doing a series of posts for us. And it's all about transitioning to a more vegetable diet.
Terrific.
I don't think she's not necessarily saying you have to be vegetarian or vegan, but just how to incorporate more and more veggies into your diet, which is the theme, right? We've been talking mm-hmm. about that a lot.
Let's see. I'd say it's hard to go cold turkey, but maybe it's hard to go cold tofu.
Hard to go.
Oh.
Ta-ding. I need to have some kind of sound effects for comments like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I've got the fairy fairy sound effect, but that's not the same. So, and then I think we have our first Joey Holly, and I'm not sure what the name, but they have a 2-minute garden segment. These wonderful folks.
It's that time of year. Many hours in the garden this weekend.
And they're doing, it's called the 2-Minute Gardener. And there's these
if two. If only.
If only, right? Oh, my God.
It took that long.
I bought a book once called The Lazy Gardener. I fell in love with it.
I fell asleep reading it.
It was like in the hammock. I just snorted. That was good. In the hammock. Anyway, the 2-Minute Gardener. It's great. And they do tips this week is about seeds. Like the difference between heirloom, organic, non-GMO, and traditional, whatever. So that,
yeah, and that's something not everybody thinks about.
Yeah,
I think about it, but I do get confused from time mm-hmm. to time.
I've never seen that happen.
Me confused?
No,
never. What? No. So that's a really great little segment, and there
wow,
you
that's
go.
A full show.
It is with everything you need to know.
Can't wait.
And don't
to hear.
Forget to mention the My Earth 360 report.
Yes,
oh.
I saw.
Oh, you almost forgot.
No, aww. Saving that till last.
Yeah. We had fun recording that one, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
And
a lot of good things.
A lot of WTFs.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of interesting things. And we leave you hanging on a cliff there at the end. So cliffhanger, man.
Cliffhangers, those are pretty popular. You have to tune in next show.
Tune in next week. Actually, all we want you to do is go check it out on the web. The website, the post.
Tricky.
Right?
We're very
great.
Sneaky.
So,
well, I'm looking forward to all of this good stuff.
All right, people, stay tuned. Lots more coming up.
Want to understand what climate change is really all about? Want to get the latest environmental news? Listen to the Green Diva's My Earth 360 report and hear it all, from WTF to encouraging news and ways that you can take action for the Earth. This segment is sponsored by TrueGoods.com, because shopping should be fun, not frightening. TrueGoods helps you make simple choices for healthier, safer, cleaner living. Tell truth, shop good at TrueGoods.com.
Okay, Green Diva Lynn.
Hi, Green Diva Meg.
So tell us what's happening.
Well, first, I never really got to finish talking about the tainted pet treats last week, the ones from China.
Oh.
I got kind of sidetracked.
That's okay. So, yeah, talk about it again.
Yeah, I just got sidetracked with that Green Diva's confession. the reason I brought it up in the first place was because despite China's horrendous food safety record, the U.S., and including the tainted pet treats that killed a lot of pets and made even some people ill,
yeah.
The USD recently decided it would allow poultry raised and slaughtered in the U.S. to be processed in China, then shipped back to the U.S.
Oh, that's ridiculous on so many levels.
Yeah, so it goes 7,000. It goes 7,000 miles there because their labor is that much cheaper. That I guess it makes
the shipping worthwhile.
Yeah, and the stuff could even end up in the national school lunch program.
That's upsetting.
I know.
Who would make this ridiculous deal? And why can't we just pay an extra couple pennies, or whatever it might cost, to have it processed?
Yeah, it's $1 an hour over there, something like that, or sometimes less, I guess.
Well, that is ridiculous.
Versus, you know, minimum wage.
Yeah. Well, so you know, people. Just
right.
Eat less chicken.
Or make sure to support local organic farms so you know where it's coming from. Because the stuff that's processed in China, it's not even labeling is not even going to be required at this point. And it's already happening with some seafood.
Okay, so that's ridiculous. Yeah. That's a WTF, to be sure.
Exactly. So that was the point of what seemed to be a non sequitur last week.
Well, that was worth bringing up again. Thank you, Lynn.
You're welcome.
Any other WTFs?
Yes. trillions of plastic pieces may be trapped in Arctic ice.
Oh, that's...
And we do not want to pay the ransom for that.
No.
As the ice freezes, it traps these floating microplastics.
Huh.
And with the current melting trends, more than 1 trillion pieces of plastic could be released in the next decade.
Oh, and the fish
eat
them.
As if we don't already have enough plastic in the oceans.
Yeah, right. It can just add to that gigantic gyre thing.
Yeah, so that's exciting.
Well, and the fish eat that, and we eat the fish, and none of it's good.
Exactly.
Okay. Just saying.
There is a good news side to that.
Okay.
California recently passed a historic law.
A hysterical law? Hysterical?
Historic law to remove plastic microbeads from personal care products.
Well, that's a step in the right direction, isn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, that stuff over in the Arctic is already there.
Right, and California's one large and formidable state of makeup, but, you know, we got to get everybody else on board.
Exactly. I was surprised to learn last year that they found large quantities of these microbeads in the Great Lakes and the Chicago River.
Oh.
And even New York watersheds.
So is that specifically what's being found in the ice?
Well, in the ice is microplastics.
Okay.
So,
I don't know. Just saying, like, how does, you know, who's doing their makeup and throwing it in the ice? Ha ha.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's something to know about.
Any good news this week?
Oh, sure. I could throw out some good news.
That's good.
Unless you want to hear about manure spills.
Okay, a little bit more WTF. Why not?
It's something you don't really hear a lot about. You hear a lot about oil spills and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I was just reading about this last night, as a matter of fact, but for something completely different. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, as the dairy farms grow bigger and they become more consolidated, which is happening across the U.S., that just means that the concentration of manure is increasing.
Yeah. More cows, more poop.
Yeah, so more poop. In 2013, there was a record number of manure spills in Wisconsin, and that was more than 1 million gallons worth.
Oh, that's upsetting.
Yes. So these huge it can happen with a small operation. It's just a little bit more problematic when it's a large operation. And because, what happens, too, is that because cows are now producing more milk, they produce more manure. So you've got that coming into play as well.
Well, plus, just saying that these industrially farmed cows, right, the factory farm, dairy farms, are also using a lot of antibiotics in the
cows. Exactly.
So that means more antibiotic in the poop, thus more antibiotic in the contamination wherever that's going.
And, yes, and even some of these farms end up spreading it as fertilizer. It not only spills, but it's purposely put out there.
Oh, dear.
And if it's put out there in excess, then the nutrients can be a problem. The things that they're actually thinking they're using it for become more of a problem. And then, of course, as you were saying, it can also contain pharmaceuticals and E. coli, for that matter.
Oh, goody. Yes. Mm.
So it's just something to be aware of.
Yeah, no, I was reading last night because I'm working on this fun book project, which I won't mention entirely yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I was looking
mysterious
about some of the eco, the impact on the environment from factory farming. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I stumbled upon, which I had never really looked at or thought of much, so it's funny, ironic, haha, that you would say it, is that there was an enormous cow poop spill up in New York State from some factory farm that, like, literally, I mean, it did so much, and I don't have the details in front of me, but it was a big, big deal. And I thought, wow. I mean, it contaminated rivers and water tables and
Right.
It was bad. So I'm thinking so everything
we need
I read
smaller operations and need more regulations again.
Everything I was reading led back to, you know, happy cows outside. Eat less meat, so we don't need to produce like 1,000 pounds per person.
Right.
And eat less and eat the cows that are grazing outside naturally because they don't need the kind of antibiotic infusions that these other cows do.
Exactly.
You know, the whole thing, there's so much – the environmental impact is so much better with happy cows outside.
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
It's a different form of pursuing our happiness.
So
I don't know if that made any sense whatsoever.
Pursuing. I like that. It's a new word. It's a new Green Diva word.
Did I say pursuing?
Yeah. Well, that's what I heard. I don't know. Just saying.
I'm not making any sense today. I'm living off a little sleep.
Before we have to wrap up, tell us some good news.
Well, I thought it was pretty cool that last week Pope Francis was saying that destroying the earth is a sin.
Yeah.
He said, quote, creation is not a property which we can rule over at will, or even less, is the property of only a few. Creation is a gift, and he went on. That's important.
Well, it's huge. It's huge because, I mean, I'm not Catholic. I'm not religious. Mm-hmm. I really don't even believe in sin in that way. But
for
those that do, who are listening, this man has such a – seems like he's just like the coolest pope I've ever heard of.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, yeah, he's the cool pope.
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting is Andrew Rifkin, who's going to be in the studio in a couple of weeks, he was talking to – he was over visiting the Pope for some –
Oh, yeah. He wrote an article about it.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, now I know you're going to have an action for us to take, and we're all going to go to My Earth 360 and to greendivas.com to look for your full post with all the fun details, and there's always a lot more in there, and videos and stuff, and find out what the action is. How about
that? Do you want me to tell you what the action is, or do we want to leave it as a surprise?
Let's leave it as a surprise because we've got to go.
Sounds good.
Good report, Lynn. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Meg. Bye-bye.
Bye. Get all the details from this Green Divas My Earth 360 report and lots more on thegreendivas.com, that's T-H-E, greendivas.com, and myearth360.com. And remember to tell truth and shop good at truegoods.com. Wishing you had a green thumb or want to learn more about sustainable gardening outdoors and in? Expert Green Divas and Dude Gardeners share tips for everything from composting to growing herbs in your kitchen. Listen to the Green Divas Green Thumb for low-stress gardening tips.
This is Gardening in 2 Minutes. I'm Joy Bear.
And I'm Holly Bear.
Seeds come in a couple of different categories that you may not be familiar with the terms. Heirloom, organic, hybrid, and there's also GMO. Let's discuss each one of these categories and what they truly mean.
So let's start with the original, which is heirloom. Heirloom variety is the true seed. This seed has been regrown and saved and passed on from generation to generation. It is a true seed. It is an open pollinated seed, and it has not been crossbred or cross-pollinated anything like that. However, you can save them from year to year, and you can cross-pollinate heirloom seeds.
The next category is organic seeds. Now, these are slightly different than heirloom seeds.
Sometimes these are ones that have been cross-pollinated, or these are seeds that are true seeds, but this means that they were grown in organic conditions without using any sort of pesticide or harmful fungicide herbicide.
These have been certified organic by the USDA. Then we also have hybrid seeds, and these are some of the more varieties that you'll see in your local home and garden center.
Hybrid seeds are cross-pollinated in order to generally be easier to grow. If you are a new gardener, you will find these easier to grow because they have been cross-pollinated to do so.
Specific traits captured by two different plants, by no means is this a genetic modification of the DNA. They're simply taking traits from plant A and crossing them with plant B. Nature has done this for hundreds and thousands of years. Then we'll talk about genetically modified seeds. These seeds, for the normal normal backyard gardener, you cannot purchase at your local home and garden center. This is for big ag only. Most people, a lot of people, are concerned if they are buying genetically modified seeds. The way you know if you've bought modified seeds is if you signed a contract or promise with the seed supplier, as big ag industry must do. They cannot save the seeds. They have to sell or feed the seeds to livestock and buy new again. These seeds are copyrighted patent. For more information about seeds, our weekly video productions, as well as our free downloadable digital quarterly magazines, you can find all that information at
thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.
For Gardening in 2 Minutes, I'm Joy Baird.
And I'm Holly Baird.
Inspired to grow more organic stuff? We are. To learn more about this Green Diva's Green Thumb episode and all kinds of other great green information, visit thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com. Shopping should be fun, not frightening. That's why True Goods offers a consciously curated selection of non-toxic goods. Find a variety of healthy and natural products for house and home, the kids, and even those furry family members. Also check out the True Goods blog, The Goods, for engaging articles and useful resources. True Goods makes choosing a healthier, safer, cleaner lifestyle easy. Tell truth, shop good at truegoods.com. Vibrant health and beauty radiates from the inside out. Get your glow on with Green Diva's health and beauty tips, from natural skincare to creating healthier habits that make us sparkle. So glad to be talking again to Mariam Hanain. Did I say your name right?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I meant to rehearse that before because I
said it marvelously.
Yay! And Mariam is the publisher of Honey Colony, correct?
Yes.
And Honey Colony Products, which is also a marketplace, correct?
Yes.
Oh, good, good, good. So she's got some health and beauty tips, beauty tips for us today. So what kind of natural beauty tips? And if anybody has seen a picture of Mariam, they would want to do whatever she does.
Thank you. Well, yes, I'm often, people don't believe that I'm 41. I would think that a lot of when it comes to skin, a lot of people are focused on putting things on their face. And I think it's important to take into consideration that everything we put into our bodies affects our skin and the hormones, right, and so on. I've always been blessed with good skin, luckily, but I also attribute it to the fact that I don't eat dairy or wheat or sugar. I think that plays a huge role.
I think it does.
Yeah, I've often seen like younger generation with, let's say, acne or red face, and I, if I have an opportunity in a kind way, I just say, are you eating dairy? Because you may have an allergy.
Yeah.
As far as beauty products, I do believe in putting honey on the face.
Mm.
And sometimes I do like a little treatment where I put the honey in and leave it on for a good 15 minutes, and then just wash it off with a washcloth and some hot water.
Mm. Is it a little bit like a mask?
Yeah, it's like a mask. Sometimes some people put some organic brown sugar to give it a little bit of exfoliation.
Ah, so when you're rubbing it on or whatever, gently with the brown sugar?
Yes.
Ooh, I like that idea.
And then, personally, the product that I use, it's not a bee product, but it's an ozonated product, and it's the best-selling product on Honey Colony. And it's basically, the one I use is an ozonated jojoba oil. And so jojoba has the same quality as our sebum, our sebum in our face. So it blends in really nicely. And then they infuse it with ozone, which is a supercharged oxygen. So it's basically breathing air into the skin. And I have people, all types of people who buy it, whether it's for acne or for rosacea or just for normal skin. And they make it in all different types of oils. But personally, let's say like they have an ozonated olive oil, I would say that that's more for the body because it's a much thicker oil. They have also a coconut, which I also think is too thick for the face.
Right.
And so the jojoba, I wear it every single day, and it's amazing. A little bit goes a long way.
Okay.
It totally gets soaked into the skin.
So is that like your everyday facial moisturizer? You put it on in the morning and go?
Yes. I do use a eye serum, and that's another company that we carry called Zatique. And I like Zatique because it's locally made. It's a couple, and it's organic certified, and they use just botanicals and flower extracts, and all their line is amazing. So they have a dragon's blood face gel, which is a wash. So in the shower, I'll wash my face, and then when I get out, I just put a little bit of Puro, and that's it. I'm also not a big fan of blush.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I don't use typically any, unless I'm doing something on camera, I don't use any foundation or any kind of, you know, skin whatever on my face.
Neither do I.
Okay.
I like to encourage women to just be natural and not cover their face up with gunk.
Right, and if you can get away with it as much. For me, I feel better. The more I do not put stuff all over my face other than a really healthy, clean moisturizer or whatever, I just feel like my skin is happier.
Yeah, I completely agree. Just to mention the organic eye and face serum, it's with pomegranate.
Nice.
I'm just looking at the bottle and chamomile. I'm also a big fan of fish oils.
Yes. And taking internally, obviously.
Yes. I think that lubricates not only the brain, but it also reduces inflammation because of the omega-3s. And a lot of the problems that we face, it's inflammation.
Right.
For instance, arthritis, it's inflammation. And if you have like a puffy face, it's inflammation.
Well, I'm looking forward to the post because I know you'll do a post with this and share some real details on some of your beauty secrets with your beautiful face and how we can all have a healthier, cleaner, beautiful face from the inside out.
Wonderful.
Thanks so much, Miriam. It's good to talk to you.
Have a beautiful day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Are you sparkling yet? Well, you will be. For information on this segment and lots of other healthy green living information, visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
The Green Divas love food. Organic, local, fresh, whole, delicious food. Here now is another Green Diva foodie file.
Well, I'm excited today to finally get to speak to Tara Wellington, who is a wellness and lifestyle contributor. And I think Tara Wellington, and that's T-E-R-R-A, Wellington.com. Right, Tara?
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
I know. You're a busy girl, and we are thrilled that you took the time to talk to us. So tell us just quickly about yourself and what you do.
I am an author and television contributor, and I talk a lot about going green and being healthy, healthy living and eco are my two hot topics that I usually talk about. And I'm also the author of The Mom's Guide to Growing Your Family Green, Saving the Earth Begins at Home. And
perfect.
I love this time of year. It is so great. I love spring. I just got back from the East Coast, and I love seeing tulips in New York City. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it is a kind of amazing, and it's funny. I've had opportunities to live in different parts of the country, but I really do like a place where the seasons, you know, you can really see the dramatic change.
Absolutely, and it just, it. One of the other things that I just absolutely love is the focus on produce. And the focus on, you know, a lot of areas of the country that maybe don't have a year-round farmer's market because it's a little cold.
Right.
They, you know, you get this explosion in the next month of some of that start, the first big batch of produce that comes through. So,
That's
wonderful.
Union Square Market in New York is a fabulous place when the farmer's markets are in full swing. And in spring it is. It's exciting and colorful and yay! So, today, you were going to talk to us a bit about making that transition from being a carnivore or flexitarian or whatever you want to call it, to being in a more plant-based vegetarian or at least vegan or even possibly vegan diet.
Yeah, you know, it's great transition here from winter and spring to summer because it does bring to mind that there are all these other food choices. It's actually the perfect time if you're wanting to make that transition from that whole high-calorie, meat-filled diet to just a little more lower-calorie, veggie-filled, because you'll have about 3 or 4 months, maybe a little longer, depending on where you live, where it's really easy to eat like that. And then it sets some habits that you can carry throughout the whole winter.
I like it. I like it. So tell us what you would recommend as a place to start, maybe.
Okay. Well, you know, certainly I think there's to recognize that there are some challenges. And taste and cravings are two of the more difficult challenges that we have because, you know, taste is wired into this complex brain cravings that they're related to culture and habit and your psychological state of mind. You know, the most common cravings that people have are high calorie, and sometimes you're trying to seek out comfort with that. You know, if your body is under stress, then you'll crave carbohydrates to boost your energy levels. So then this all begs the question, okay, so I understand that I crave things, and why don't I crave Brussels sprouts, you know, when it would be better for me than chips?
That would be convenient, wouldn't it?
It would be great for our health, right? But the answer with that is that it all boils down to what we condition our body to like. You know, it's a chemical thing in the brain. You either condition yourself to eat certain types of foods or you don't. And you can even condition yourself to be an overeater.
Right.
So, you know, the simple answer is really then based on, okay, what foods do you buy? And old-fashioned discipline, saying, no, I'm not going to eat that, or I'm going to eat this. And so you eat what you buy, and you eat according to habit.
And I know for me, when I have gotten kind of off the trail, and that happens from time to time, once I get back into the routine, it takes a couple of days. And then, you know, like let's say sugar, for instance, and I know that's not exactly what we're talking about, but my body and my cravings do adjust. After like 2 or 3 days of not having it and maybe being a little whiny about it. And I assume it's very similar with meat. I've never had a problem not eating meat or having cravings for, meat. I assume it's sort of similar, right? A couple of days?
Yeah. It will be a little different for everyone, but you do make that adjustment. And one of the easiest ways, MeatlessMonday.com,
yes,
the campaign that you hear about, it's a really great way to start to make that transition, especially if you've never done it before. You can just say, Mondays, I'm going to go meatless. And, you know, meatless isn't, I'm just saying that as like no poultry, no fish, no beef,
right,
completely. So you're going completely plant-based is what I'm talking about. And great ideas on that website, meatlessmonday.com.
Yeah.
And all over the internet, for that matter. I'm not just promoting that site.
I love that concept where, you know, you're not saying to people, okay, look, you just got to go cold turkey and that's it. You're like, dip your toe in and try it and see how easy and exciting and delicious it can be and how much better you might feel And it can expand from there for some people, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I did with my family. So several years ago, that's the route that we took where just we tried it on Mondays. So it was just one day a week.
Right.
And it was kind of hard because there are new tastes and you have to kind of learn how to do it. You know, there is an art to eating this more veggie-filled diet that you learn over time. If you weren't raised vegetarian or vegan, then you kind of have to learn how to do it. It's really not that hard once you get to the other side of it.
Right, but right. There is a learning curve.
Yeah, there's a little bit of education, you know, but I actually would say it's more about exposure.
Yes.
To the good veggie foods, you know. You kind of have to learn what that is. And if you weren't raised like that, then you can go to a vegetarian restaurant, a really good one.
I was going to say, you know, nowadays there's so many options. And if you go to Whole Foods, they have so many options or whatever your, you know, local health food store. There are now options for all kinds of, you know, so you don't have to necessarily prepare everything from scratch like I did in the old days. You know, I used to make my own almond milk in the 80s, way back in the olden days.
Yeah, yeah. But what I'm saying is that when you go someplace where someone, like at a really nice restaurant where they know how to make really awesome tasting veggie sides or veggie entrees.
Right.
And they look beautiful and they have really interesting combinations.
Right.
It expands your vision.
Yeah, it inspires you. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not just, okay, now I have to go to boiled carrots because that's what I grew up with. You know?
Yeah.
So also talk to other people that are vegetarians or vegan and find out what they do and get tips from them. You learn, it's sort of something that you learn by tasting, learn by watching other people. Of course, you can get recipes and great photos and it inspires you, but it's something that's learned over time.
Well, I'm thrilled, and I think your advice is really helpful for anybody who's like, well, I really want to do this, but I don't know how. It's a kind of low stress way in, and I'm living proof that you can do it and feel great. So people can find out more about you at tarawellington.com, but also you're going to have a post on thegreendivas.com.
Yes, and it's going to be a 3-part post, and it's going to talk about some of this making a transition. I'll have a little bit more information about the cravings and kind of where you start, and then as I move through the post, I'll talk about, okay, well, how can I do this? How can just the nitty-gritty ideas about that, and then some recipes and places to start, you know?
Yay! And hopefully we'll get to talk to you again soon.
Okay, thank you.
Hope you're hungry. For more easy and delicious recipes and even more foodie information, go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
Greetings, everyone. This is David Avocado Wolf, nutritionist, author, and chocolatier. And you're listening to The Green Divas. Listen close, tune in, and have the best day ever.
Green Divas get to talk to so many inspiring people, who each in their own way is helping us find a deeper shade of green. Here's just one of them. Enjoy.
Okay, well, we finally have Stephanie Spear, who is, and I didn't ask you exactly how you wanted to be introduced. Are you the founder, producer, publisher of EcoWatch?
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me. I'm the founder and CEO of EcoWatch.
All right, thank you. I neglected to ask in advance. I just think of her as EcoWatch, right?
Like she is, you know, EcoWatch.
She is EcoWatch. Anyway, she's also a lot of fun, and aren't we lucky that she hopped on a train and came out to the studio from New York, visiting her New York office, and we had a little lunch, and
And it's so great that she's here when I'm here.
Yeah, that was part of the diabolical plan.
Right.
Get you both in the studio to play. So anyway, you know, can you talk to us a little bit about how EcoWatch came into being and how you kind of stumbled into this fun media life?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been publishing environmental news for 25 years. As a college student, I had that aha moment that how I spend my everyday life impacts the health, my own health, as well as the health of the planet. And decided that, well, if I could have that moment, other people could as well. And, you know, why are more people not conscious of their impact on the earth? I decided it's because they weren't educated on the issues. So I decided to start publishing a newsletter as a student and educating students on how they could be kind to the environment. And that has turned into a 25-year plight.
I relate to that plight a lot.
Yeah, we were talking at lunch and have similar backgrounds, which is really cool. So I graduated college, went back to my hometown of Cleveland, launched a newspaper called Affinity, published that for 10 years. It was distributed free throughout the state and did a really great job educating people on environmental issues and also providing a venue, a home, a portal for the people who were rolling up their sleeves every day to protect our water and our air. It did really well, realized I needed to take a little break as I had two kids mm-hmm. and took a five-year hiatus. Really thought that the mainstream media during that time period would take over the niche that we were filling. 5 years later, as I put my son on the bus for first grade, knew that the niche we were filling still needed to, you know, be managed. So I decided to launch EcoWatch. I launched EcoWatch as a nonprofit organization to do pretty much the same thing, publish a newspaper, get it distributed all across Ohio. We published 80,000 copies. It was distributed in 2,200 locations in movie theaters, laundromats, coffee shops, mm-hmm. doctor offices. Yep. It was super exciting. It reached a really broad audience with what I considered the most important issues impacting the planet. It clearly, newsprint was slowing down, and I knew it was time to hop online. So about 4 years ago, I started plans to take EcoWatch online. And so 3 years ago, we took EcoWatch online, ecowatch.org. We did that in partnership with Waterkeeper Alliance, and it was great. Overnight, we flipped a switch on servicing just Ohio to servicing a global community. We increased traffic significantly. But it tended to seem that the majority of the readers coming on the site tended to be what we coined the darkest of the dark green. Really amazing people who are already engaged and connected.
Right. So you're sort of preaching to the choir.
Preaching to the choir a bit, but really providing an important service at the same time. It's so important that we're all communicating and connecting mm-hmm. together, knowing what somebody may be doing in New Jersey that might help somebody in Utah.
Right, true.
So we're really a connection, a way to bring all the grassroots environmental organizations to one venue. But my goal has always been to reach a broad audience. So I started to look at different business models and knew to grow the site significantly, I'd need to broaden the content. And so we wanted to bring in other content to talk about the incredible businesses that are really striving to towards sustainability, also the green living and other ways that you could, in your everyday life, make a big, big difference. So I changed business models and found partners out in New York City to take EcoWatch for profit. And we transitioned from a .org to a .com 14 months ago. And it's just been fantastic. We've been able to bring on a larger editorial staff, which is based out of Cleveland, Ohio. And then also really broaden our breadth of content. So we have our business vertical that celebrates social enterprise and companies who are really making a difference, mm-hmm. eco-living that talks about the things you can do in your everyday life to create change and have a healthier lifestyle.
Which is where the Green Divas have been able to benefit because we, you know, you've been picking up some of our content.
Right, right.
And we really love and appreciate being on EcoWatch with you.
Yeah, well, your content's really great. And what it does is it helps, you know, broaden the types of people who are coming to the site.
Absolutely.
You know, we love to help people connect the dots between human health and the environment. We're mm-hmm. looking to reach all shades of green. EcoWatch is transforming green in so many ways. One way is also through a new vertical we recently launched, our university vertical, and we're featuring content from students all over the world.
Oh, I hadn't seen that. That's great.
Yeah, I like that concept. Yay. And we're also sharing some of your content because it really works well because I use the term fluffy during lunch. And, you know, I mean, sometimes we are a lighter shade of green and we focus on the day-to-day stuff and the how-to, you know, eco-style kind of things more.
But and, we're trying to round things out.
Well, and we are. And, mm-hmm. and that's where EcoWatch has really brought a depth of credible environmental news and right. science to, you know, which is what Lynn brought in, because that's what you were focused on with mm-hmm. My Earth 360.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, it really works out well because, you know, we're broadening our audience and deepening, I think, our commitment to
yeah.
environmental news.
You know, for us to get where we need to go, it's going to take everyone. It's
yeah,
going to take
it's a collaborative thing.
Individuals.
We're all in it together.
Yep. And
absolutely.
Business leaders and politicians. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just the light green or the dark green that's going to get us where we need to go. It's everybody combined.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like it. I like it. That's how we like to roll, us green divas. So tell us what's going on. Like, if I were to say, and I don't have it up in front of me because I've got my computer recording, but what's going on the site now? Like, what can people find? What would, for instance, right now, what would they be looking at?
Yeah, so we have a piece going viral on the site right now. It talks about Bill Nye. Bill Nye was on CNN, and he defends climate change and. He was facing some bullying claims on CNN,
yeah.
So that made some pretty hot news.
I did see that, and Van Jones is sort of sitting there, and he, I don't even think he gets a word in because they're really just all over Mr. Nye, the science guy.
Yeah, which that's been getting lots of publicity and doing really well. Also, as many probably know, the White House came out with their climate
right.
report,
yep.
and I think that the Bill Nye interview is related with that. We have a really fun piece on the site. It's the Years of Living Dangerously.
Yes, oh, yeah. We love that.
Yeah, yeah. So we actually have this incredible clip that had never been seen before.
Really?
Yeah, about coming out of the closet on climate change. And I don't want to give away too much. People should hop on
EcoWatch.com
and check it out. But it's doing really well. That's going viral on the site as well.
Yeah, I think two of our posts this week were about Years of Living Dangerously.
Mm-hmm.
One was my own where I recount, because I had finally watched episode 3. I'm trying to catch up. And it was all about Sandy. And I lost 2 cars in Sandy. And it just kind of brought it all back, which is why, you know, Stephanie knows because I picked her up in my Smarty Marty's Rent-A-Wreck, which is a cute little car. But anyway, I was just describing that I don't own a car right now. I'm car sharing with my husband, which means I don't have one.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the whole thing was about Sandy and it brought it up. And I was like, oh, yeah, climate change crushed my cars.
Right.
And then I, you know, talk about
Years of
Living Dangerously again. Again, because it's a powerful series.
It really is. If you haven't seen it, check it out. We have actually some breaking news we'll have on the site soon about how more people can view it. But the
mm-hmm.
first episode
cool.
you can watch for free, and
yeah.
you can also see that on EcoWatch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, in addition to you know, news and living, business, our university vertical, we also have an incredible cast of crew of our insight writers, so people who provide their insights to our site, from Ed Begley Jr. to Lester Brown, Alexander Cousteau, Josh Fox, Paul Gallet from Riverkeeper.
Oh, you had Mark Ruffalo recently.
Mark Ruffalo.
Hey, can you get us hooked up with him too? I'm trying to get.
Oh, and Josh
connected.
Fox. I love Josh Fox.
Actually, all of them. Can we just go down the list?
Let's check them all out.
Yeah, they're all great. Paul Hawken and Al Gore and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Just a really incredible Dr. David Suzuki. We feature a piece by him every week. You know, we're really fortunate to have an incredible group of people providing excellent content for our site. So be sure to check it out.
Aren't we lucky? So what's your favorite aspect of doing what you do? Is it, you know, do you do much writing anymore? I know you're doing a lot of, you know, managing of all these, juggling all these aspects. And you and I relate to that as former publishers, always publishers, and now digital publishers.
Yeah, I wish I wrote more. It's hard to find the time. I was fortunate to 3 weeks ago go to Copenhagen. I was invited by the Scandinavian think tank Monday morning to participate in a climate symposium. And I had an incredible opportunity to go visit the island of Samsø. It's the first island in the world to be generated by, to generate all their electricity 100% from renewables. So I got to tour the island, and I did write a piece on that. So that was a nice opportunity to take some time to write. So you can check that out on the Insights under Stephanie Spear as well. So that was great. But my favorite part of what we're doing at EcoWatch is when you see our readers sharing content, and then you know that it's really getting out to a broad range of people.
Yeah, right. Doesn't that feel good? And not just because it's your stuff, but because you know that the message is making, you know, it's making its way out there.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I really don't tend to see the content as ours because there's no content that talks about EcoWatch. It talks about the people who are making a difference.
Yeah, exactly.
For the health of the planet and the and human health. So it's just, it's a venue. It's a collaboration of people who care, a collaboration of organizations that are out there every single day working really hard to protect our water, protect our air. We're working with more than 1,000 environmental organizations worldwide. We work with, you know, hundreds of colleges and universities and students. We are a B Corporation, which is exciting. So we're partnered up with nearly 1,000 B Corps who every day they take the people and planet into mind in their day-to-day decision-making. Mm-hmm. So we're, you know, that's what I love the most when I see the content that we're posting on the site is getting shared among our readers, and then it reaches out past our core audience. It reaches their friends, their neighbors. And it's just, it's fantastic when you see the content on the site really making a difference.
Yeah, that is the thing.
Any thoughts on, I had just written a piece that is on EcoWatch right now about net neutrality. What are your thoughts on that? Yeah. On that whole bugaboo.
Well, I saw that piece, and that I, you know, obviously incredibly important. Mm-hmm. I have seen some other content on that, other places as well. And so, you know, that's a great example of something that more people need to be thinking about. So,
I don't think there's a lot of awareness about what that really means and what it can mean to things like the environmental movement or any of the things we're trying to do to help make change.
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, it's so important that we get more people every single day engaged on these issues. And clearly there's a broad range of issues from, you know, environmental and social. Clearly, EcoWatch is honed into the environmental aspect. You know, you can't have jobs on a dead planet, right?
It is all relative.
And, you know, other issues are clearly important as well. But we need a healthy planet so that we're healthy and other species are healthy. One aspect of EcoWatch is to, you know, clearly embrace everyone. We want everyone to feel comfortable coming to our site, whether you're someone who just is realizing maybe using plastic bags every day isn't the best idea, someone who is just found an article, hopefully on EcoWatch, about dryer sheets and how you're, you know, and the toxins that you bring into your home every day. You know, nothing happens overnight. You're not going to become conscious and all of a sudden buy organic and, you know, start composting and growing your own food. It's a process.
Yes, plus, definitely. There's so much. I mean, sometimes I think, because I've been doing this for a long time, that, you know, there's nothing new that's going to shock me. And then, bang, there's a little article and I'm like, wow, I didn't know that. There was something recently.
Every day there's a WTF story out there.
Yeah, we call them the WTFs. Like, what?
Well, you know, and I tell people all the time, I mean, I do the best I can and you do the same, you know. I may be further along toward, you know, a very strong biocentric viewpoint, but, you know, it's a path, it's a journey. And so we work really hard to connect with everyone. And some people still come from a very humanistic viewpoint. The planet's here for us. And, you know, it's when you do adopt a sustainable practice and realize that it makes a difference. If you stop using plastic bags and start using cloth bags, you realize, wow, that really does reduce my usage of plastic.
Mm-hmm.
So you go from, you know, a humanistic viewpoint to a biocentric one, realizing we're all connected and it's, you know, going to take your consciousness level to, you know, really move things along.
Like, what's the word I'm looking for? It sort of steamrolls. It's sort of, you know, one thing. If, you know, you just start. Like, oh, gee, it's not that hard to recycle my newspapers. And before you know it, you're recycling all kinds of things. And maybe you start composting and, you know, just snowballs.
But, yeah, it's a process. So I always encourage people, pick one thing.
Yep.
Pick one thing that's measurable. And, you know, take it from there.
Just starting one habit at a time. Once you tackle one habit, you're on to the next one.
So, ladies, we've had way too much fun already.
Well,
and I'm pushing us along because we got to get our friend Stephanie back to the train.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's traveling like an EcoWatch green diva. And we want to get a little video of her. So when you hear this, know that there's a video out there. Go to the Green Diva's website and watch a great little video with Stephanie, too.
Well, great.
All right, everybody.
I'd love to just, you know, tell all your listeners, you know, the one thing that you can do that really helps educate others is share the content on EcoWatch. Make sure you stay connected every day. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Most importantly, sign up for our top news of the day.
Yeah.
If you really want to stay connected on a day-to-day basis, subscribe to our top news of the day. People love it.
I get it every day, and I love it.
Yep.
So be sure to check it out.
We're fans.
Yeah.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Thanks
Stephanie. So much for taking the time.
Safe travels.
Thanks.
Hope you enjoyed that as much as they did. Please visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. For more fun podcasts and information on the Green Divas and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green.
Okay. Well, we had fun, even if you weren't with us, Paul. Sorry.
What a fascinating show, though.
Right?
Yeah.
That was an awesome show.
Stephanie Spear from EcoWatch. She is moving and shaking and sharing a lot of great stuff. So we're really glad to be working with her as well.
And we need more people like that.
Don't we?
Absolutely.
So anyway, I guess, you know, that pretty much wraps up for today. I hope everyone, you know, got something out of the show.
Go to greendivas.com,
thegreendivas.com.
All kinds of resources and links. And
there you go. All right, everybody. We'll have a great green week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ciao.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, Swell Radio, and Spreaker. Get social with the Green Divas on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Subscribe to the Green Divas YouTube channel to watch them in action. And for all the latest good green news, visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.